ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सहवीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। So in this particular topic, consummation of life, Swamiji is talking this deep Vedantic truth. It says that everyone is essentially divine. Self is one in all living beings. In the 13th chapter of the Gita, which is called as Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogaha, the yoga of distinction between the field and the knower of the field. Kshetra means field. Knower of the field means the pure consciousness, the real subject. There he talks about this body, the mind, intellect, all of these as the fields in which the consciousness plays about. So the fields are insentient. And then the consciousness, the sentient principle, expresses through these various fields, then a sense of individuality is born. The limited I is born, for which different names are given. Sandhya, Puja, Sheta, Ami, etc. So, this Jada body, the insentient body, the insentient mind, the insentient intellect, when consciousness functions, the sense of I comes. And then every being has the mind which has different gunas. This entire universe is nothing but manifestation of gunas only. Now, if you go back to the basics that we have studied, Brahman plus Maya is called Ishvara. And in that Ishvara, there is both the spirit and matter. Matter component is Maya in potential form. Spirit is the pure consciousness, Brahman. Now, Maya Sahita Brahman, we give a name called Ishvara. And the Maya, which is Trigunatmika, manifests as this subtle world and then the gross world, this entire universe. So this entire universe is nothing but three gunas. So three gunas in the form of objects and different beings, three gunas in this particular form, in this individual form, are relating with each other. Pure consciousness, Brahman, is only a witness to the whole drama. Take the example of the dream. In the dream, one waker's mind has become the entire dream world. And in the entire dream world, there is subject, dreamer, and the object, the dream world. Both the subject and the object in the dream or in the form of dream has come from waker's mind, one waker's mind. Waker's mind is a substratum, foundation, upon which the whole thing is projected. So the waker's mind is remaining as a witness to the dreamer and his or her contact with the dream world, which are made up of the same material. So this is what they are saying. Everyone according to their gunas function. Some have more sattva and rajas. Some have more rajas and tamas. Some have more tamas and sattva, different permutation combination. So, according to each one's nature, they function. So why call them a sinner or saint? Technically speaking, Atma doesn't do anything. So, Atma is not the doer. No one is a doer. So, no one is a sinner. No one is a saint. That is all he's saying. The self, the saint is the self in the sinner. So, therefore, you are the self. Out of ignorance, you are thinking yourself to be the sinner. Out of ignorance, you are thinking yourself to be the saint also. There is no saint, no sinner. Now, this is what we need to understand. One self in different equipments manifests as different beings. Just like electricity passing through various gadgets. It elements all the gadgets, but each gadget has different functioning. Electricity passing through the air conditioner cools the room. The same electricity passing through the heater heats up the room. The gunas are different. Now, once you understand this, you should start focusing on the Atma, not on the gunas. And if you start focusing on the gunas, you will be agitated. If you are focusing on the Atma, no problem. You won't be agitated. That's all it is. Your focus of attention is ever upon your body, mind and intellect. The perception, action, emotions and thought. Thereby you experience heterogeneity, diversity in the world. That causes friction, frustration. Period. So if ever you are getting frustrated, agitated, you are feeling the friction, it's because your attention is moved from the Atma to either the body or the mind or the intellect. It should shift to the Atma. Every time it shifts, put it back. Shifts, put it back. This is what we are doing. We are identifying with Atma now. The identification lasts maybe till Friday. Saturday, so slowly it starts waning. It will continue a little bit if you are studying every day. If you are not studying, reflecting every day, it won't even last till Friday. You are studying a little bit till Friday, little more till Saturday. Like that it will be there. But slowly, slowly the charging will diminish. And then by the time Monday comes, agitation starts more and more. Why? Because your attention is shifted from the Atma, from the center to the periphery. From the Atma to the body, mind and intellect. That's all. So this is the story of a palace where the prince had a pet and he also had a room which was only fitted with mirrors in every wall. In any direction he turns, shows his reflection. One day his pet dog entered the room in his absence. And the dog saw many dogs reflected on all sides. Getting insecure, started barking. And the room was echoing the sound. And it was agitating the dog even more. Because the perception is all the dogs are barking at her. And sound is coming, it's terrifying her more and more. So what did the dog do? Bark even louder and became so tired, finally perished, died. Whereas when the prince comes in the room, he admires himself through various reflections. Whereas the dog doesn't have that knowledge. Therefore thought, I'm separate. Once I'm separate, obviously otherness is there and as a result, insecurity will come. So that's all he says. Therefore, learn to recognize your own self reflected everywhere. Even in a very, very bad person, highly, highly negative person, you should understand that it is the same Atma that is pulsating in that person as well. It is just that he doesn't know and has given himself into wrong gunas. As a result, the person is functioning like. So therefore he says, as the king saw himself in his reflections, you should see everything as your reflection. self, the relevance of material equipments, the same the relevance of all other beings. Thus you develop an attitude of friendship, harmony and love towards the world at large, a feeling of oneness with all beings. So when we talk about the qualities of a bhakta, 25 qualities of a bhakta, he starts off by saying, Advesha Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha. Advesha Sarva Bhutanam means hating no being. A bhakta of God, bhakta of the truth, will not hate any being. Raja understands. The beings are essentially divine. There is no need to hate anybody. There is nothing else other than that divinity. Out of ignorance, people identify with the gunas and they suffer. So an intelligent person doesn't identify. He understands. Gunas are functioning. In many places, Bhagavad Gita, this verse is come. In the third chapter itself, he has already said. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Guna guneshu vartante iti matvana sanchate. Na anya gunebhya kartaram, he says in the 14th chapter. There is no other agent other than gunas. The fellow who is identified with the gunas have a sense of separation and he thinks he is the doer. So guna is the doer. And who is going through the pap and punya? The guna. Because then the guna is reflecting the consciousness, individual becomes. So that individuality goes through the doership and the enjoyership. So therefore he says, na anya gunevya karta. There is nobody else other than this gunas who is the doer. Atma is not the doer. It is madness to think that you are the doer. That's all he says. So once you understand this, you will have love for every being. You will not hate anything. And you will be friendly with everyone. Maitra. Mitra. You will be a mitra. Friendship. Karuna. Compassion. So many qualities he mentioned. All the root is what? This knowledge. You have so much compassion towards your own kith and kin. Because of the identification, me. I am spreading them as well. But you don't understand. Because you don't identify beyond body maximum mind. You don't go to the level of self. If you go to the level of self, the expansion will be infinite. That's all it is. Then there will be harmony. You won't try to prove your point, my point versus your point, nothing like that. Let's see what the truth is, what is good for both of us. If somebody is not in the listen to, mood to listen, listen. Later on we'll talk to them. So that's all he says, a feeling of oneness with all beings. Where does that come from? Knowledge. Knowledge of the self. Once I understand that every being is the self pulsating in different name and form, nama rupa, how can I hate anything? Not possible. Continue please.
The sun above is all light, but on earth people experience day and night. Likewise the Atma, the Supreme Self, is all blissful. Yet you go through the cycle of joy and sorrow, the source of these diverse experiences in your inner self. You have lost sight of yourself. Your attention and interest is upon the world. You experience the day of pleasure and the night of pain. You must regain your identity with the Self, your unity with God, the Supreme Reality. Utilize your equipments and the world to transcend them all and reach your original being, the abode of absolute peace and bliss. Into that state of being, all physical pleasure, emotional joy, and intellectual rapture dissolve. That is the culmination of human life.
This is the example from nature. It says, the sun above is only light. There is no darkness son doesn't know what is nisha. I think I've mentioned the story also. Son didn't know anything about darkness. Son remained a brahmachari. So somebody said, there's a beautiful girl called Nisha. You should meet her. If you meet a girl called darkness, you will certainly like her. You can get married. And son tried her, tried his best. Go and meet Nisha. And every time he goes closer to her, she vanishes. So he never met her, he never got married. Continued to remain single. This is what the story says. What it means is, sun only knows light. There is no darkness if there is no sun. But not people experience the end. From our level, from the level of the mind, this duality is there. See, another example that we generally discuss is, light is colorless. When the colorless light passes through the prism, the 7 luxury colors come out. Similarly, the pure consciousness functioning through the mind, the total mind is the Maya. So when the pure consciousness functions through the Maya, through the mind, then the individuality comes, the world comes. Hence you see this plural, the duality, the joy, sorrow, all this comes. Self doesn't know joy, sorrow. Self is beyond all dualities. That's why we say advaita. It is not two. You don't say one. Because if you say one, it is as if you know about it and you're fixing it. As if intellect can capture it. We say no, advaita. So joy, sorrow, honor, dishonor, censure, praise. Nothing, pleasure, pain, nothing is experienced by the self. He says the source of these diverse experiences is your inner self. The source, Atma, reflects to the mind. If it was not there, how will you have all these experiences? But in spite of it being the source, you forgot about it. You lost sight of it. You are only identifying with this body, mind, and intellect. See, electricity is passing through the bulb and giving light, and in the light you are seeing diamonds, in the light you are seeing stones, gold, land, and then you are lost in this. Lost in the land, you are lost in the stone, you are lost in the gold, diamonds and all that. What you have forgotten is, if light wasn't there, you wouldn't have seen the diamond, land, nothing. Similarly, the light within is the Atma. But you forget about it, you stop identifying with it. You have no sight of it, you have no clue about it. So you experience and then you get lost in it. What is this? Your attention and interest is upon the world. You experience the day of pleasure, the night of pain. You must regain your identity with the self. Self is beyond joy, sorrow. Person who realizes self goes beyond joy and sorrow. So this is something we don't understand. And goes beyond joy and sorrow means what? Beyond joy and sorrow means he will be in constant bliss. You say joy, it is fulfillment of a desire. So, you can't stay in a state of mind which is constantly in fulfillment. Mind means it will be dissatisfied. The more you will, the more it wants. So, you will be joyful and after some time you will become sorrowful. Even when you are going through joy, you will be inside deeply sorrowful. They are. They may take it, somebody may take it. I hope it will stay with me. I do not want it to be gone. Maybe the case. Whereas bliss is not the fulfillment of a desire. Bliss is absence of desire. Annihilation of desires. when the very desires are gone, what remains is only bliss. So that's what he says, that's your original state. The abode of absolute peace and bliss is yourself. Understanding is, utilize your equipment in the world to transcend them and reach your original being. To understand this, you'll be putting your equipments to use. If not, you'll be using it for paltry pleasures, temporarily satisfied and then agitated. So the abode of peace and bliss, you will be utilizing the body, mind, intellect for that purpose. Why? Through whatever karma, you've got this body, the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, whatever. You oblate all the abilities for the sake of realizing the self. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage? That attitude. The abode of absolute peace and bliss into the state of being, all physical pleasure, emotional joy, and intellectual rapture dissolve. See, there are actors who have given interview saying that they haven't seen many of their movies. In fact, I think there's a guy who doesn't see any of his movies. He doesn't go for promotion, this thing, that thing. Now, you are watching movie and deriving some pleasure. The fellow who acted in it, you say, brilliantly acted or she acted. They were playing that role. You are now distanced and watching. They are in it. They were in ecstasy. Hence, they have no identification with their limited self during that role. They became that character and excelled. The joy that an actor got while acting, in comparison to that, the joy that we get is nothing. It's a completely different feeling. IPL season is going on. Some of the matches are very nail-biting. Now, you see last ball finish and all that. The fellow is in the groove. He is hitting the ball, running, scoring above the boundary. He is in different ecstasy. So many people are sitting and watching and clapping. They are going through some kind of pleasure. But what would be that pleasure compared to the joy that fellow is going through? It can't stand, it is, there's no comparison. That's what I'm trying to say. So when he says here, into that state of being all physical pleasure, emotional joy, intellectual rapture dissolve. If as an observer, if as an audience, you are enjoying so much. As a person who's performing, that person must be in bliss. There's no comparison. The following is, that is the culmination of human life. Continue this.
People the world over do not realize their true real worth, the absolute state of being that lies within them, the infinite happiness of the self. They have discarded the nectar of divinity within. They are trying to find peace and happiness in the world. All the pleasure and joy derived from the world would not be worth a drop in the ocean of bliss within your own self. It is a blunder you commit in courting outward objects and beings. Judas Iscariot, sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. So have you sold your Christ within for the shadows of pleasure and the joy in the world. You ought to be wiser than that. Your own self has it all. seek within. In the Vedic text Keno Upanishad, the Guru deplores this grave blunder of humanity. He cries out, he who does not realize the self here in this lifetime suffers immeasurable loss.
What he is saying here is little deep. All of us have mortgaged ourselves. Now this is something that we need to realize. From the absolute level, also from the relative level. A Mahatma never compromises on this. For some benefit or the other, we compromise ourselves. And we go through terrible pain. So he says, without knowing the worth, Judas Iscariot sold Jesus Christ for 30 silver coins. Because you don't know the worth of it. Just the 30 silver coins have sold it. So, once you know the worth of it, will you sell it? We have mortgaged ourselves in the hands of the body, mind and intellect. For the pleasures, for the joys, for the delights at these levels, we have sold ourselves. We are not living our life. We think that I need to live to purely fulfill my physical pleasures or emotional joys or intellectual delights. My whole life is consumed in that. Seldom do we live our life. I think I quoted this to you in one of the classes. I happened to read this magazine in one shop. I had gone to the salon for haircut and I had to wait some time so I just followed that magazine. In that there was this interview by old actor Jitendra. So the lady is asking him, why are you not acting nowadays? Your contemporaries, Amitabh Bachchan, are not acting. What is your problem? Why don't you act? Your own daughter is with the producer and all. He says, listen, I come from a very normal background, so I need to make the ends meet. I need to work hard. So in those days, the shootings and all were in most of the times in studios. So I got a lot of opportunities. So I used to go for a shooting in the morning in one studio. And from one end of Mumbai, I go to another end, to another studio for acting. And suddenly I realize, while I'm acting and earning money for the family, I realize my children have grown up now. They've all gone to colleges. Hardly I spend time with them. So now also if I run behind this money and this and that, I will miss my grandchildren. He says, hey, Baba, I have enough. I don't want to get into acting and all that. So it was interesting. A few minutes I had, I just scrolled and then I read this. So like that, you know, from a very mundane level, we are missing. We are missing the joy in the present, in the hope of madness of pursuing the future. Mind projects that there is joy, in this there is joy. That club membership, this membership, in that house, and this thing, and the whole life is going in there. So, we are constantly filling ourselves. That's what he's saying. People all over the world do not realize the real world. You go behind somebody or the other. Either you go behind the celebrities or you go behind swamis. The real Swami doesn't want you to come behind him or her. But you will go. Because he constantly selling, he needs. We are constantly mortgaging ourselves. So he says, this life is not for sale. We are mortgaged. Compromised for the bodily sukham, for the bodily perceptions, actions, emotions, thoughts, all different levels. All the pleasure and joy derived from the world would not be worth a drop in the ocean, the bliss within your own self. In the sense, we have lost our life in the pursuit of desire. There is something called pursuit of desire and there is something called pursuit of happiness. There is a beautiful movie called The Pursuit of Happiness. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. Just 2 hours, 1 hour, 57 minutes or something. Very nice movie. So, are we pursuing happiness? If you pursue happiness, you understand happiness is here and now. The best time is now. The best place is here. We are constantly living in the future or the past. And the mind is going somewhere at their best, never here. So what have we done? We have sold the Jesus. We are all like Judas. Christ within for the shadows of pleasure and joy in the world. Christ within is sold. You ought to be wiser than that. Your own self has it all. Seek within. The Vedic text Kenopanishad, the Guru deplores this great. The second part of Kenopanishad verse 5, he says, Yacheraveti data satyamasti na chedihaveti mahati vinashtihi bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitra dhiraha pretyasma loka dhamrta bhavanti. Beautiful shloka. In Upanishad, first part is only 9 shlokas, second part is 5 shlokas. Third and fourth part is just story. In fact, what he wanted to say, he finished saying in the second shloka itself. First shloka, the Shisha is asking. Second shloka, the answer is over. Even in the second shloka, one line, the whole thing is over. Shrotrasya shlokam, 2 words. Answer he gave is, year of the year. Okay. Whole Upanishad is over. Year of the year. This year is only the physical gwalaya. You cut this till you can hear. Don't try, just fill in. Cut this, it's still here because there is the real sense of hearing is not this, it's somewhere inside. And that sense of hearing is also made of 5 elements, which is jada. So there is this consciousness expressing through that. Then you hear. So the ear of the ear is that consciousness. And that is your true self. So what is that? When we are hearing, we get lost in hearing. We forget about what is behind our hearing. Beautifully in Kenopanishad, 5 times he repeats. Mantra 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of first part he says. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate yashrotrena nashrunoti yena shrotramidagum shrutam tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate yachakshu shana pashyati yena chakshu bhumshi pashyati tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate. It is not what you see, but what makes you see. That alone is God, not what you people worship here. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. That alone is God, not what you people worship here. It is not the mind. It is that which makes the mind feel various emotions. That alone is God, not what you people worship here. Like that five times he repeats. So when you say, where is God, where is God, where is God? God is there in every perception. God is there in every action. God is there in every emotion. God is there in every thought. When you open your eyes and see, you can see God. But the problem is, you get lost in what you see. You don't see God. That is the mind. That is the Maya. So therefore, you keep missing God. You keep missing bliss. You're searching for bliss somewhere else while it is here and now. That's all he says. Yena Upanishad says, Mahati vi nashti iha ched aveti tata satyam asti. If you have lived your life according to this Vedic truth, you lived the life of satyam, identifying with Atma, then you lived the life of satyam. Na ched iha veti, it's not. Mahati vi nashti. Nashti means loss. Vinashti means great loss. Mahati vi nashti means supreme most great loss. Double, triple, superlative. The biggest of all losses. Sometimes you wanted to do something because you love. Somebody come and give logic, please, and this thing, you have to do that, and then you somehow drag yourself to the other thing. You feel so miserable. You feel very miserable. Even if Arjuna was promised 10 times more salary, and as a result, if he gives up being a Kshatriya, and then does something else, he would have been terrible. Because that is not where his heart is. What is really what? Losing your independence for the sake of something is not worth it. That's a life, is a slavish life. That's all it is. We are all living like that, slavish. Thing or the other, we are expecting at the body level, mind level, intellect level, all levels. So we live as slavish. That's why it is. Kena Prasad cries out, he who does not realize the self here in this lifetime suffers immeasurable loss. Because if you are not identifying with the self, you are identifying with the body, mind and intellect. And you will be dancing according to their tunes. Whatever is their demands, you will be trying to fulfill that. You know, everybody kind of experiencing some kind of a joy in the taking some alcohol or something, drugs. It's like that. You are temporarily drugged by materialism. So we don't really see that we are, in the sense, we are mortgaged our independence for the materialism. We have not mortgaged ourselves in the material. Please understand the difference. thing wrong in having material. But if you are materialistic in your mind, then you become dependent on. Dependency is not joy. But that sorrow is temporarily covered by materials. So you think you are in joy. You fool yourself. Please continue.
A prince went to a hermitage to pay his respects to a sage. He prostrated before the holy man. The sage promptly rose and prostrated to the prince. The prince was bewildered. He recoiled and pleaded, "O master, how could you do such a thing?" The sage asked in turn, "Why did you prostrate to me?" "Because you are a man of renunciation," rejoined the prince. "You have given up this world which we are all running after. You have attained godhood." The sage softly inquired, "Which do you consider superior of the two, world or God?" "God, of course," the prince replied. "Then, do you realize," continued the sage, "I have only renounced the world, but you have renounced God, who has demonstrated greater renunciation." The prince woke up to the reality of life and soon realized the absurdity of worldly pursuits. So should you. Get to the real source of peace and happiness within you. Realize the divinity of yourself. The entire world pales into insignificance. You will reach the state of enlightenment. William Cowper extols this state in his poem, The Solitude of Alexander Selkirk. "I am monarch to all I survey. My right there is none to dispute."
So the story of the prince is given to convey the same point. Prince is prostrating to the sage. The sage is in turn prostrating to the prince. And prince says, "Hey, Swamiji, please don't do this. You have renounced the world. I should be prostrating to you. I am just the prince. Why are you prostrating at my feet?" Hey, listen, what do you consider the greatest, God or the world? Obviously God. So you renounce God and you are running after the world. You renounce the greatest thing. I only renounce the world. Something very inferior compared to what you renounce. So who is your great renunciate? Basically trying to sarcastically teach him. You fellows have lost the self and sold yourself for 30 silver coins. Don't do that. He wants to say that. And the prince understood that. The moment you get that, you will be leading a life as a king, even in utter poverty. You may lead the life of a very rich man, or a rich person, or a very powerful person, but being inside, very, very disturbed, dependent, that's a very pathetic life. See, if a person studies for the exam and then gets, let's say, 50 marks, pass percentage may be 30, 33, whatever. He's got 50. Another fellow copied, got 80. He cannot be happy because he knows he can be exposed any day. Any day he can be exposed. It's not yours. When you play ball, the ball may go into the rough. You are supposed to hit the ball from there only. And when you are practicing, you are playing, you put the ball back into the nice area and then hit it. And then you say par. You know very well that it is not par or birdie or anything because went to the bush. Others may, you can come and say, my handicap is so and so. Who is going to count all those things? So you won't be really deep inside be happy. You hit the ball from the rough and then hit it to par or even 1 hour, it's okay. Because you know that is yours. So that is what he's saying. You, in every which way, we have mortgaged ourselves. We tie our present happiness with future achievement, not with the present action. Isn't that mortgaging? The future achievement ko kyun tie up kar rahe present happiness. Present happiness is in doing what is the right thing to do. You won't tie it up with future achievements. So you'll be contented. It really doesn't matter. That's all he says. What you have renounced is the truth. What you are holding on to is the image, shadow. We are all holding on to the shadows. That is why we are going through misery. The day we learn to identify with the truth and not with the shadow, immediately, instantly, the sorrow will go. Instantly. See, when you go to the cremation ground and you see a body is lit, you know, they set it on fire. Now, the few minutes, few seconds, everybody goes through this. But the power of Maya says that doesn't last long. But for a few seconds, they say, hey, what is this? All the present achievements, acquisitions, acquaintances, everything had no meaning. All the battles he or she won means nothing. You wonder what is the meaning of all this? Trying to prove my point over the other, establishing that I am right versus that person. All that makes no sense. That time you realize. After that, again, we'll get into the same. We get so involved. Very powerful. Maya is very powerful. We need the grace of the Lord to deal with Maya. Because Maya is subservient to Lord. Very, very powerful, Maya. Maya is only subservient to the Lord. He is the Pati, Shri Pati. Shri is goddess of wealth, Maya. All are Maya. See, when you identify with that, then you will deal with Maya. You take your, you surrender to that Shiva, to that truth. That's all he says. This prince prostrating to the personality, but not to the principle. He wanted him to understand the principle. Why do we worship knowledge? You are worshipping knowledge book, but you are not taking up the knowledge into your life. What's the use? That's why sage did this to the king. Hey, all the time you are running and frustrating to me. Okay, fine, it's a good habit. Good habit, good value. But why you are frustrating? Are you frustrating to this body? Are you frustrating to this features? Are you prostrating to the mind or the intellect? What? Knowledge. This is permanent. If you really respect that permanent aspect knowledge, then why don't you identify with it? Say, I thought about that time. But why you don't do it? Why you want to be playing with shadows? Why not with reality? That's what he's asking. And the sage is telling the prince that you have renounced the king, the God, taken up the world, while I have only renounced the world, taken up God. See, when you renounce the world and take up God, world is part of God. Please don't forget that. When you, that's what came in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 9, he explains. He says, they are in me, I am not in them. Shadow is of the reality. And reality has nothing to do with shadow. Shadow is dependent on reality. Reality is not dependent on shadow. So, the material components have no worth without Atma reflecting. That's all he says. Either what's the use? He says, no use. If Atma is not reflecting, it is of no use. Since Atma is reflecting, it has one value. So why have you renounced the Atma? Why have you stopped identifying with Atma? And the more you stop identifying with the Atma, the more you suffer. Hence, he says, you should start identifying with the self. He says, the prince woke up to the reality of it. Soon realized the absurdity of worldly pursuits. See, absurdity of worldly pursuits does not mean that you should not have worldly objects. You should not be pursuing the world mentally. Mentally, your identification should be fixed only with Atma. Identifying with Atma, you go about being in the transitory world. That's all. Get to the real source of peace and happiness within you. Realize the divinity of yourself. The entire world pales into insignificance. Sometimes, you know, you realize how important, for example, eyesight. You know, it's terrible. There are people, one lady who is very, my colleague's mother, she suddenly lost her eyesight, almost 95% gone. That throws us into such tremendous, dependence. Till then we don't realize. We're taking everything for granted. Perceptions, actions, everything for granted. Suddenly the knee problem comes. Then you go to the doctor, he says, listen, nothing can be done. You have to replace. Replace means this much money. That is okay, that is secondary. But so much trouble, 1 month, 1.5 months physiotherapy, pain, we're taking everything for granted. We have taken the foods for granted. And there will come a time when the unworthy stuff that you pursued will leave you, will shun you. When they shun you, then the reality hits. When you realize, my God, what did I do my whole life? This is all what I did all my life. I never lived my life. Will I get another chance? You may think like that, but there is no second chance. There is no second chance. So therefore, he says, better wake up. Better wake up to the reality. Identify with the truth. You will reach the state of enlightenment. You get enlightened. Enlightened means what? You get enlightened about the fact that you are already the monarch. Therefore, he says, I am monarch of all I serve. My right, there is none to dispute. You may be in utter poverty. You, unfortunately, many of you don't know Tamil. If you read Bharatiya Mahakavi, they call him, Mahakavi Bharati's works, it's outstanding. He lived as a poor fellow. And there are fellows who are multimillionaires now because of Bharatiya's poetry and other things. Same thing with Shakespeare, same thing with Warren Goff, all the Van Gogh, all the fellows, they died of poverty. Yeah. Poverty meaning externally. Internally, they were very rich. From there, they get that zeal is something else. Uncompromised. They live like a king. So, that's what he says. I am monarch of all his people. My right, there is none to dispute. In one context, I believe, when Mahatma Gandhi was in Tamil Nadu during freedom struggle, Mahakavi Bharati was going on some kind of agitation against the Britishers. So he wanted Mahatma Gandhi to participate in that. I believe he was busy, so he said, I cannot come. Or something he said, can we do it some other day? This day I'm busy. He said, whether you come or not, exactly on that day, on that time, these things will go on. The truth will not stop for anybody. Personality is dependent on the truth. Truth is not dependent on personality. If we understand all these things from a relative angle, our life should be fixed on a goal. When you have no goal, so get up in the morning, I want to do this, I want to do that. What do I do today? Okay, chalo, let's go phone call. No. What kind of a life is that? But if you have a goal, is everything moves around that. So like that, he says, fix the self as a goal. Move your life around it. Then you see how joyful it becomes. That's all he says. Now the next topic, personality chart, is a beautiful portion in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 18. He discusses these seven aspects. Knowledge, action, actor, intellect, consistency, happiness, renunciation. It divides all these into three aspects, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. And when you understand this, you get the entire idea of your personality, how much of sattva, rajas, tamas you have. And after understanding this, you are supposed to, plot your own chart. Where do I stand? How much of sattva, rajas, tamas I have? So that's the portion, personality chart. We'll begin that next week. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Budhyatmana Va Prakrute Svabhavat Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayam.
Hari Om Guruji.
Hari Om.